This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is there a distinction between preventive care for the economy versus medicine to heal it? I'm David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve is due to start its two-day policy meeting in a few minutes. Tomorrow, we'll likely get another small cut in interest rates for the third time this round. Now, it's a delicate dance for policymakers. The Fed characterized the last cut in rates as a kind of insurance policy in case the economy starts to go bad. That is different from easing rates to support an economy that is indeed faltering. I spoke to Lindsay Piegza, the chief economist and managing director at the investment company Stifel Nicolaus, just now.
They don't want to undermine confidence. If they acknowledge the fact that the economy is weakening, this could in fact undermine that confidence and overshadow the possible potential benefits from lowering interest rates, borrowing costs for investors, for consumers. But if they fail to recognize the fact that the economy is slowing, they begin to lose credibility. And then the market could question their resolve, their willingness to step in and continue to prop up the economy going forward into 2020.
Now, the S&P 500 touched a new high during trading yesterday. The popular index is up 16% year so far, despite rough spots in China, Europe, and beyond, and a trade war with China, Europe, and beyond. All right, stock markets, new high, and unemployment in America that's the lowest in practically forever with a trade war. Let's welcome to the Marketplace New York Bureau here the editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine, Zanny Minton-Beddoes. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
What is unemployment? 3.5%, Zanny?
3.5%, a half century low. The last time it was this low, I think, was when the Rolling Stones had Honky Tonk Woman at the top of the charts.
1969, taking us back. But, you know, I mean, The Economist was founded on the principles of free trade. You like free trade. You would have thought without it, there would be disaster. I'm not seeing disaster.
Broadly, the economy overall has suffered less than I think you and I would have predicted had we had this conversation a couple of years ago. And I think the reason is, well, one, the economy has had some strong supports from elsewhere. You know, the Trump tax cuts, whether you like them or not, injected a fiscal boost. Monetary policy has been extremely loose. But also, and I think this is really important, many, many businesses expected this trade war to be temporary. But now, increasingly, I think there is a realization that actually this probably isn't temporary. And so companies are now starting to move supply chains. They're moving out of China if they can. And there's enormous uncertainty about where the administration will go next in the trade war. What other weapons will it use? And that uncertainty is deterring investment. It's hitting business confidence. And I think it's beginning to have knock-on effects on the economy. And it looks as though the economy is likely to slow. And so I think we're going to see the damage, but just in a more delayed fashion than we thought.
Also, let's say there is a grand agreement in 3 months or just before or after the next election. Negotiations like this have a habit of poisoning people's attitudes. Do you think this could long-term affect the U.S.-China relationship?
I do, and I think it's not just because negotiations poison people's attitudes, but because there is growing suspicion of the motives of the other side on both sides of this. So if you are in Beijing now, and when I'm there, you know, increasingly you hear people say, America just wants to keep us down. And if you're in Washington, there's an increasing view of this is a, you know, authoritarian regime that doesn't play by the rules economically and is trying to sort of, you know, dominate the world. And both of those views have no common definition of success. And that makes it very hard for me to see how you have a sustainable long-term economic relationship and a deal.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor-in-chief of The Economist. Always good to see you.
Great to see you, too.
General Motors results today were better than expected given the strike. Full-size SUVs and pickups were still selling in the summer to fall quarter, and the stock is up 5.4% now. Investors have been generally supportive of the new union contract that still lets the company close down factories. That said, GM indicated today the strike cut $1 billion from profits last quarter and will likely cost it $3 billion for the full year. Ahead of the terrible fires raging in Northern and Southern California right now, people had been finding it harder to get homeowners insurance, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The California Department of Insurance says areas affected by wildfires in 2015 and 2017 saw a 10% increase in policies dropped by insurers last year. Deputy Commissioner Michael Soller says that doesn't include the impact from last year's Camp Fire, which destroyed the town of Paradise.
We think as bad as these numbers are, they're only going to get worse in 2019.
Homeowners who can't find traditional insurance can get a bare-bones policy through the California Fair Plan, an insurer of last resort. New Fair Plan policies in high-risk counties have grown by 177% in the last 3 years. Janet Ruiz with the Insurance Information Institute says homeowners do have options.
It may be a little bit more expensive, but when you have more risk, you do need to pay more because we have to collect enough money to be able to pay losses.
For every dollar insurers collected in premiums last year in California, they paid $1.70 in claims. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And before we go, technology lets you speed up content. Without making it sound like chipmunks talking, Netflix has confirmed it's experimenting with a system to let you breeze through video at 1.5 speed or to slow it down. All right, stop that. Netflix, experimenting only. Director Judd Apatow is among the first Hollywood directors to pan this idea, meant to help you plow through the binge-watching. He tweeted, "We give you nice things. Leave them as they were intended to be seen." Apatow says, quote, "Don't fuss with our timing." He used a different word from fuss. Audiobooks do let you do this already, and I assume Herman Melville hates it when I speed read through the occasional boring bits of Moby Dick. New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.